I'm Ben Ostrowski.
And I'm Jenna Matern.
This is Evergreen Advocacy, a production of the Evergreen Echo from Loyola University, Maryland.
When you are asked to picture Baltimore City, you might think more about concrete and buildings rather than the air or water. However, the environment is a major factor in the health of Charm City, and it's being threatened.
Issues like sewage, air pollution, water pollution, and chemical dumping pose a serious threat to our city. In this production of Evergreen Advocacy, we address the severity of these issues and what you can do about them.
With a sewage system that's been partially untouched for hundreds of years, some Baltimore residents are feeling the effects. Nick Mangold with more of the ongoing battle.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Councilman Ed Reisinger.
Let's go back almost 5 years ago to a Baltimore City Council meeting. A nicely dressed woman named Doris is marching up through a sea of people to the front stands.
Now, I do know it's Miss Doris's birthday, so we want to have her come. First of all, can everyone say happy birthday to her? Can we do that?
It's her birthday, but she isn't exactly there for cake. In fact, this meeting's standing in front of it. She's there to testify.
I have been flooded four times since 2014. I lost completely in 2014 everything I had just put down.
To most listeners, this is obviously tragic. When your home gets flooded by water, you can lose so much. But as she keeps talking, the picture becomes a bit more clear. It wasn't water that flooded her house.
In 2015, it happened again. It comes through my toilet. There were just huge piles of fecal material.
It was raw sewage. Doris's home has been flooded four times by raw sewage. Doris is only one of 5,000 active sewage backup cases that happen yearly in Charm City. But how do we get to this point? Barbara Johnson is a senior manager of community advocacy at Blue Water Baltimore, and she explains the pipes are pretty old.
The system was started being built in the Great Fire, I think it was in 1904. So, you know, around 1905. So you're talking about some of these old pipes that have been around since that system was built. Some of them are still made of wood, clay. There are even old cast iron pipes and stuff, but these are all crumbling. And if there is a crack in the pipe and maybe something wasn't connected properly when it was built, or if there's just old crumbling pipes, that could be a constant leak of sewage into the system.
How can we as residents change the sewage system for the better? The answer may be in advocacy. But as Barbara explains, it's hard to even get victims to speak out about what happened.
In my experience, people that have lived through this, it's not something they really want to talk about. It is something that some people consider shameful, or they think it's, it must have been something we did on our side.
Raw sewage is obviously disgusting, but it's an unfortunate reality for so many of our neighbors in Baltimore. From 2016 to 2021, almost 9,000 cases of basement backups were reported. If things are to get better, we can't scoff at or create a stigma around this issue. The people affected need to be comfortable to speak up.
I'm Nick Mangold, reporting for the Evergreen Echo.
The sewage pipes of Baltimore are not the only thing polluting neighborhoods.
Air quality is one of the biggest struggles in Baltimore, as more sources of air pollution pop up all over the city. One source is crematoriums. It's been over a year since Von Green Funeral Services requested a permit to build a crematorium in one of the most densely packed and polluted areas in North Baltimore. The Evergreen Echo's Sarah McCoy with the ongoing fight for clean air.
The noisy and busy streets of York Road are in the heart of the Govins community, a place where kids, workers, and families have for generations fostered a colorful community despite its struggles with air pollution. And now, this.
It's just the wrong place to add an incinerator.
That was Lisa Poliak, one of the scientists who testified for York Road, the community organization, in front of the Education, Energy, and Environment Committee in Annapolis.
The idea that you would put a crematory incinerator less than 200 feet from someone's backyard, where there's in a neighborhood that is already awash in air pollution, number one, and also the health status of citizens in this neighborhood is already demonstrably compromised by exposure to air quality. And we wish that the owner would consider some of his other properties that are in less residential neighborhoods.
They sought one thing, to get Von Green's permit for the crematorium denied, for the right to breathe clean air.
And thank you, members of the committee and our sponsor. My name is Karen DeCamp. I am the past president and secretary of the York Road Partnership. And we are urging, obviously, a favorable report for SB 893. We think this 1,000-foot setback from our homes really, we mean our homes. That's who you're seeing.
Their fight started in the middle of the pandemic against MDE trying to approve Vaughn Green's permit.
Now, MDE does have something called an environmental justice score, and they tout it very heavily. The governor sort of ran on an environmental justice platform. But Maryland Department of the Environment right now has no authority to use the EJ score associated with a neighborhood when determining whether or not that's a good place to put another air pollution source and to issue a permit.
An emergency bill was proposed by Senator Mary Washington. That bill would stop Vaughn Green's crematorium from operating.
Can you imagine, like, if any kind of a chemical company said, you know, we want to come into whatever your community neighborhood is and we want to set up a chemical factory? And people would be rightly very upset about that, because they don't want a chemical factory next to their backyard where their children go out to play. In the same way, you wouldn't want an incinerator 200 feet from the backyard where your children go out to play, especially if they're children who are already burdened with asthma, or if you're burdened with COPD because of a lifetime of exposure to poor air quality.
Days before the emergency bill was heard in Annapolis, MDE would show support for the bill. Louisa Glass, a junior at Loyola who was there, paints that moment.
I was honestly frustrated by the letter because I feel that they disregarded a lot of the scientific evidence that showed the harm of crematoriums, and also they failed to really take into account the issues presented in the setback bill, as well as the concerns of the community.
She was one of the many students there showing support for the emergency bill, and yet
I feel that there is potential for the community to continue working to hopefully resolve this issue in another way and to support one another through this difficult time.
It's a devastating moment for the community. An area with some of the highest documented rates of asthma in the United States faces the possibility of another pollutant in an already polluted area, with nothing stopping MDE from approving Vaughn Green's crematory permit. I'm Sarah McCoy, reporting for the Evergreen Echo.
Air pollution is not the only thing plaguing the communities of Baltimore. Water pollution has dirtied the waterways Baltimore has depended on for decades.
For years, acidic pollution flowed into Jones Falls, causing foul smells and fish kills. Recently, environmental groups have taken the fight to the polluters. The Evergreen Echo's Josh Glattman with more.
Over the past few years, while walking along the Jones Falls trails, driving to Ridley Athletic Complex, or heading to the Woodbury to see friends, you just might have smelled something foul in the air.
You know, I do frequent the Woodbury a lot, and I go down to that light rail station as well. And frankly, it smells pretty bad over there sometimes, and I'm not a fan of it.
While the smell might seem like a nuisance, it also represented a much larger, more serious issue. Tucked underneath a bridge on the side of Cold Spring Lane, right next to Route 83, lies the now-vacant Fleischmann's Vinegar Factory. Blue Water Baltimore, a nonprofit watchdog group, began investigating the vinegar factory after a fish kill was observed in Jones Falls in 2021. Rona Cobell, a journalist dedicated to environmental causes and co-founder of the Environmental Justice Journalism Initiative, explains how fish kills happen.
Many thousands have to die. And what happens is something comes into the water that deprives the fish of the oxygen that they need to live. So either it is a big algae bloom, or it could be like a toxic spill or something that changes the chemistry of the water and basically kills them, suffocates them.
In January of 2023, after their investigation, Blue Water Baltimore filed a lawsuit against Fleischmann's, accusing the company of having four unauthorized discharge points. These discharge points sent polluted water directly into the falls. In April of this year, Fleischmann's agreed to settle their lawsuit with Blue Water Baltimore for $1.3 million. Fleischmann's was forced to shut down their factory immediately and pay $865,000 to fund Jones Falls restoration projects. Some see Blue Water Baltimore's victory as a wake-up call, forcing the polluters and the Maryland Department of the Environment to act.
Well, I wish it would have gotten more attention, because I think it's really important. But to be clear, Blue Water Baltimore wouldn't have had to sue if either Fleischmann's hadn't made this bill, or if MDE had been proactive about it happening and taken action.
This is Josh Glattman with the Evergreen Echo.
Baltimore's waterways are also polluted, which poses problems for marine life. Here we dive more into what we as Baltimore citizens can do to better advocate for our environment. The Evergreen Echo's Simone Sanchez with more about how pollution travels and its impact on residents' health.
I think one of the problems is simply the fact that the rates, it's not something I observe, it's just factual that cancer rates, asthma rates, especially among children in West Baltimore, East Baltimore, are astronomically high. So we have all the statistics, we have all the hospitals, we have all the scientists, but we don't seem to have the will to do something about it.
That was the voice of Father Tim Brown, Associate Professor of Law and Social Responsibility at Loyola University, Maryland. Baltimore's waterways alone have been overly polluted, which poses problems for marine life and more. How can we as a community bring awareness to this epidemic while also making a difference? Brock Couch, Assistant Teaching Professor of Biology at Loyola University, Maryland, shared some reasons why pollution is carried down through our waterways, while discussing possible solutions moving forward.
Have a lot of what's called impervious surface, so like concrete, buildings, roads, you know, things where water is not like getting into the ground. And so it just rushes down these streets and off of buildings. And so it's picking up all of these nutrients and all this different pollutants that's within the Baltimore area.
Couch also offers some insights about how we can take better care of our environment, marine life, and how this is being affected by the lack of environmental care.
We have this intrinsic tie to the actual bay, and it's a huge source of like production in terms of food. And so it is something where, you know, kind of being better stewards about what we're doing, you know, kind of individually, as I said before, that is going to help kind of maintain that stewardship of the Chesapeake Bay that can be this really big source for individuals right here.
Laura Banke, Vice President of Conservation Programs at the Baltimore Aquarium, shared what we as a community can do to be better advocates for marine life and the environment.
I really think the best way to be better advocates is in general to just be aware of your actions, your individual actions and the actions of your community. It's, you know, it's not just one person, although one person can obviously have a big effect. But it's as simple as things like trying to get rid of single-use plastic.
This has been Simone Sanchez reporting for the Evergreen Echo.
While environmental issues continue to pose a threat to Baltimore, there are things we can all do to make our community a better place. Picking up trash, carpooling, taking public transportation, and learning about environmental justice.
This is a team effort and cannot be done by just a small group of people. Change is necessary if we want to help our environment and its creatures. I'm Ben Ostrowski.
And I'm Jenna Matern.
Thanks for listening to Evergreen Advocacy,
a production of Loyola University Maryland's Evergreen Echo.